Hello and welcome to another episode of the Testing Peers podcast. My name is Chris Armstrong, and tonight I am joined by David Maynard.
Hello.
Russell Craxford.
Good day.
And for the first time, hopefully, of many, Beth Clark.
Hello.
Tonight we're going to be talking about testing careers and if they are indeed worthwhile. But before we get started, Beth's going to read us our message from our sponsor.
Saffron QA continue to be our sponsor, and they're also here to support the testing community. Therefore, should any of our listeners be in the market for a new job in testing or hiring new talent for your team, please reach out to Ben. He can be contacted via email at ben@saffronqa.co.uk.
Awesome. Thank you very much. And today's Mr. Banter Claws is Russell Craxford.
I'm going to be a bit off the wall today just because... why not? I'm feeling a bit mad, so you're going to have to bear with me. What's your favourite cuddly toy? Different, I know.
Today or historically?
In general, over your entire lifespan so far, what would you say was your favourite cuddly toy?
My grandfather, who's sadly no longer with us, even he died when I was a child. I'm the final one of four kids in my family, and he bought each one of us a cuddly toy from the same place. And each one of them was named after him because he's a man who changed his name several times. And so I managed to get one. He was called Mills, which was his last name. And he was a very special white cuddly bear toy that I sadly managed to leave in Tenerife in 1995. But he was my favourite cuddly toy up until that point.
See, for me, I had two cuddly toys when I was little. I had Big Ted and Little Ted, really inventive names. And my favourite was Little Ted. He was quite stiff, but I also used to just chew his ear. So he had one very fluffy ear and one very chewed up ear. And so he was my favourite toy. And he's probably still at my home, or parents' home. I haven't got him now. Sadly forgotten. Well, he's not forgotten because I've talked about him today, but he's no longer with me.
I think my favorite cuddly toy is much more recent. So his name is Patch, and he lives on my bed. I sleep with him every night still. But I got Patch for Christmas in 2017 from my then boyfriend, now husband, as a joke present. He bought it, so Patch is a reindeer because it was Christmas, so he bought me this giant reindeer toy thinking that, you know, it might just be a bit funny and I wouldn't know where to put it or what to do with it, and actually ended up falling in love with him, and he's my favorite thing. And whenever I go on holiday and I come back from holiday, I'll go and say hi to him because I haven't seen him for a week.
Lovely.
Just brings me some joy.
Absolutely.
That's what part of cuddly toys is all about, I guess, or toys and things like that in general. Connections and things, yeah. Mine isn't recent. Mine is from multiple decades ago. Mine was the old, I guess, sort of very worn by the time I think I finished with him, teddy bear called Ben. And I remember his lifespan relatively well, considering my shockingly bad memory. He had all his limbs, but he did have an eye that fell off several times, had to be repatched back on. But yeah, he went around quite a few different places, and I wouldn't go many places without him for a while. But that was a long time ago.
And where is he now?
You think he's resting his eyes underground somewhere. he's long gone.
My youngest is still collecting cuddly toys to this day. Whenever he gets spare money, rather than going to buy sweets and things, he wants to buy a new cuddly toy everywhere he goes. It's become a little bit of a problem because there is now no room on his bed. But it is kind of cute, so, you know.
It is, yeah. Okay, so shall we move on to talk about our main topic? Who wants to start us off?
I believe David might have done a talk on testing careers at Sigist. Maybe David should start us off just to get our minds working.
So, yeah, so testing as a career, is it worthwhile? I think it's a really interesting topic. Let's start off with when have you sort of thought about testing as a career? Or, you know, do you, Do you still consider testing as being a worthwhile career?
I mean, it was something that kind of happened upon reflection. At least for me, my background academically was not in computer science or software development, and I sort of fell into the software world as a whole by accident. So hadn't ever really given any thought to the different areas of the software development life cycle, let alone, a focus on testing. And given that my first job out of university was as a software engineer covering everything, specializing in tests wasn't something that was spoken about. Everyone kind of did a bit of everything. Everyone had some test experience, some development experience, etc. And I don't know, it wasn't ever talked about, it wasn't advertised. I didn't meet many people in my company that had purely done testing. And the ones who I had met that had some testing experience, they weren't necessarily advertising it as this is the way you should go, this is the bit of software that I love. Everyone was focusing much more on development as, the kind of sexier and more popular area of tech these days. And I ended up in test roles just by my role as a consultant on the projects I was on, and ended up really falling in love with it and actually meeting a lot of other people who felt the same and were really passionate about their careers. And I guess it was at that point where I asked the question, well, can I do this as a career? Like, again, I still didn't know that only doing testing and focusing on that one aspect of software development was possible. And it wasn't until I started reaching out to careers, my managers and mentors, who actually said, yeah, people do test forever. And it turns out actually that my aunt is a software tester and has been for her whole career, but we'd never had a conversation about it until I got into that world as well. And so she was able to provide me with some guidance on, what kind of work you might look for, what kind of roles you might look for, the skills you might need. And for personally, for me, I think it's been really worthwhile. I've learned a lot. It fits my skill set and my passions really well, much more than I think developing or writing code ever did. But it really wasn't advertised to me. If I hadn't sort of fallen into it by accident, I don't know if I'd have ended up in a career in testing at all, which would have been a shame.
Yeah, I mean it is an interesting one. I didn't realize it was a career until I'd been a tester for 7 years, because I always believed it to be something that was a step on a ladder to a different path in the games industry. To that end, I always just thought it's a stopgap. I also didn't think it would ever pay enough money to get a mortgage, support a family. But again, that was that moment in time in the games industry. But I did sort of discover as time went on that it did cure, not cure, meet my sort of need for challenges, for diversity in the work that we do. It also appeared to me to have a slightly better ratio of men to women and other pieces than I was seeing in other departments. That's again very subjective to different areas, but yeah, I'd never heard of testing as a career, not even for computer games, let alone anything else. I mean, everyone I spoke to about it just thought it was a hobby. And yeah, there was no education about it. But then I grew up in sort of humanities and politics, so why would anyone have ever told me about testing as a career? But as we have on with this podcast group done, a lot of folks that go through computer science also don't really see it as a career. And it's an interesting sort of mindset and conundrum.
I see a lot of parallels with my background as a scientist. So I did astrophysics, and I know David did biology because he mentioned it at his talk last week. And I think there's actually a lot of parallels between the scientist experimentation mindset and being a tester. A lot of testing is about following that sort of process of have a hypothesis, see what happens, change your findings, change your mindset based on what you find. And it surprises me that testing isn't advertised to people who go through those career paths as scientists or engineers, because I felt when I did get into testing, I already had a lot of the skill set that I needed, a lot of the transferable skills from my time as a scientist in the lab working on electronics. Yes, it wasn't software, but I had a lot of the knowledge and the mindset that I needed to get into testing.
And I think that's you've hit on a really good point, is that it's very accessible. It's very accessible to lots of different people. Chris has mentioned humanities, we're scientists. There are so many different opportunities for people. And so therefore, it is a complete myth that you have to have a computer science degree in order to become a tester. It's also interesting that my history, although I have had an element of testing throughout my career, it was only in the past sort of 15 years that I had tester as a title. And I stepped my stall out to become a tester even before I had a tester in the title, because I took one of the certifications in order to clarify, you know, have that stamp that I was determined to be, to stay as a tester, as much because of that mindset of, I want to be able to investigate things. I want to be able to be that person that thinks of those ideas that will really challenge the software that we're doing and finding. And you know, everyone has an important job to do, developers, whatever, but actually having that questioning mindset of what if, I'll just press that button. What am I expecting to happen? Well, actually, it doesn't matter what you expect to happen. What happens is, what effect does it actually have? Let's have a look at what effect it does, and then we'll assess whether it's a good or a bad thing based on the information we're given. So go out there and try these things and see what effect it does have. That's how I see it.
I think also the routes into testing as a career aren't always as clear, or there aren't as many. So to get into being a software engineer, there's quite a lot of routes. There's degrees you can do, there's apprenticeships you can do. That's how I ended up in this world, was on an apprenticeship to retrain and learn about coding. But there's no testing apprenticeship. Any apprenticeship you do in software is very broad because it wants to teach you. But I've not found an apprenticeship that's just, hey, here are the skills to be a software tester and you can go and do that. And any software apprenticeships that do include testing do not focus on it. It's just one small area of a very large curriculum.
You could see Russell get quite animated. Just
I did,
there,
yeah.
Listener. So let's hear what Russell has to say.
We do software testing apprenticeships.
Oh, amazing.
And we're not the only ones. I know other people do, because we've had other people on our apprenticeship schemes from other organisations. It isn't a big thing still, to your point. And I think that is the scale of it is very small. I think the last scheme we had, I think we put 12 people through it. Or 16, I think it was in total, but I think due to other things, it reduced a little bit. But it does exist. There are paths for it. I'll not lie and say that a large chunk of that is about programming experience and knowledge still. But there's also other parts of it. So it's a test engineering one where automation does play a part. But there are paths. They're just not easy to find. One of my people I worked with at a previous place went through a computer science degree and were adamant during that time they wanted to be a tester. And they struggled to find graduate programs that they could become a tester on. Again, they do exist. There's just fewer of them than there are other ones. And there are various paths into it. And I think, like most of us, we didn't go down a designed path. I hate bad quality. It's in my DNA. I can't pretend otherwise. If I spot something that doesn't work, I have to point it out. It's like an obsessive compulsion. I've learned how to point it out without slapping people in the face with it these days. But it's still something that I have to spot and have to do something about it. The fact that you can see how puzzles are put together and deconstruct and reconstruct them, I think really helps. Like, my background was architecture, and it was about designing something that not only looked good, was functional, but also stood up with engineering, and then trying to marry up all those three things together. It's very similar to a software puzzle. You've got to have the architecture behind the scenes. You've got to have the infrastructure. You've got to have the non-functional, the functional. You've got to make sure all these things balance. And without some of that balance, you might not work. Like, someone could design something so the roof's 3 millimeters thin. Guess what? There's no roof known to man that would span any distance that's 3 millimeters. So it's about kind of looking at all the angles and trying to kind of see where the risks are. And then obviously probing a little bit further, using tests, using analysis, using different techniques in order to understand more so that you can help improve the quality. And I'm still, and I probably will be for the rest of my life, be that person that likes to point out how things could be better. And that's all it's about to me. It's often about giving advice to people so that we can make improvements. It doesn't have to be listened to, but this system could be better if we did this, or if it didn't do this, and so on.
I was going to say that We are also investigating. We're going to hopefully bring in at least one apprentice this year in September based on quality engineering and in the brackets test at the end of it. So, and actually, funny enough, one of the developers, the embedded software division, are also considering a quality engineering because it seems to give better coverage of what we actually do rather than the more programming type sites, which is really great. But I think also you mentioned a good point there, Russell, is actually as testers, although we investigate the software incredibly deeply, all we are doing is sharing our information. It's that ability to share information and not we can influence what happens. We can influence the design, possibly. We can influence, what the result is, but actually it's that influence, it's that level of influence and that information sharing, which is what gives me good feelings because actually I'm sharing what I consider to be good quality. I'm not making the full decision as to is really good or bad. I'm sharing that information and making sure in my mind it works and I would be happy enough to use it in the future.
In the leadership side of it, though, we're building the systems and the methodologies and the ways in which we can do that more efficiently and effectively. But obviously, when you're starting out, you don't think about that side of things. You think day to day. But it's interesting as a leader that shifts. And obviously, building the culture, building the environment where others can inform that. It's not just the sole responsibility of the tester, it's the wider responsibility of the team.
And actually, it's the responsibility of leaders to enable that safe environment where people can share, that people can give that information without being, the old-fashioned, oh, you're the troublemaker, oh, you're always causing problems. I haven't heard that for a very long time. So hopefully, in most companies, it has moved on. However, if it does, then I would move on from that company is my way. But, hope. That is what's needed in most companies is that safe environment that testers are respected for their decision.
We play a part in that because we often say, we're going to break your software, we're going to do this sort of thing. We use what I would call kind of attack-based language. And reality, I think they always say software was broken when I got it. It was only because you execute in that way to become broken. It works two ways. But I think we've got to make sure we're careful with the language we use so that others can value us the way that we value ourselves. Because we can devalue ourselves by talking about we're here to break other people's things. We're here to be the gatekeepers of quality. Those sorts of statements start devaluing what we can add. And it is about adding, not stopping, if you see what I mean.
But even when we talk about bugs or issues, again, that's negative connotations that they're all problematic. Whereas actually, it should be switched on that we're actually improving quality.
Did you see Gareth Waterhouse was inspired by Simon Pryor's talk at Sigist? He posted about 15 misconceptions around testing. And a lot of those things are things that are regularly quoted at us, even regularly by testers, I suppose. And just really quickly, non-technical, a safety net, test everything, separate roles, testing is boring, anyone can do it, break stuff, slow things down, write and execute test cases, more testing equals a better product, testing is easy, gatekeepers, we only test last, just find bugs. And all testing can be automated.
Yeah, I think there's this huge people side to testing and quality related careers that is often missed when we talk about it externally. We're always focusing on things like, yeah, automation, finding bugs. It's all very technical and heavy. But I think from what I'm hearing from all of you, we all agree that there's this big cultural people aspect to testing about how do we work together as a team? How do we communicate with other people? How do we bring everyone on this journey of understanding where we're at and where we need to go in order to improve. And I think that potentially is what could make testing stand out from other roles in the tech sector as a career and what makes it different and special. is because you find a lot these days, a lot of tech roles, you're either one or the other. You're pigeonholed into either programming 100% of the time, or you're in a bit more of a distant management or leadership position where you're just doing the people side. And testing is that lovely middle place where you get a bit of variety. Yes, sometimes you are automating a test, or you're doing some infrastructure, or you're reporting on something. But then the other times, maybe you're having meetings with people to try and understand a problem with them or work through something, or you're working out the best way to present some information that you've found. And I think for a lot of people, it's that middle happy medium that they struggle to find. They don't want a job where it's only one or the other because they enjoy both sides of their job. Or maybe, like all of us, they've come from a slightly different background. They may not have all of the technical skills. And so a job that is 100% technical might feel really overwhelming. And so testing is, for me, a great fit. And I think it is for lots of other people, but they just don't know.
I think also that the wonderful thing about testing is the wonderful communities around there. You know, there are so many people that can support you. So even if you are limited in your number of testers within your current company, you can reach out to other people. You can listen to things. You can, you know, we've got this podcast. There are blogs about it. There are conferences, and you can listen to inspirational people and take what you need. You know, that there's a lot of information out there that you can learn from. What I would say is don't try and do everything all at once. You need to take sort of small steps. Just improve on the bit you can do. Let's move forward a little bit. Don't try and change the world.
It's an interesting one, isn't it? Because, like, I think one of the marks you get from people is how testing can take all people from all walks of life, and it is very true, but it also means there isn't necessarily an understood structure. We've joked about namings of job titles and what path you possibly can go on in your career, and it can be quite hard to find your place in your organization to work out where you really stand, because testers can be quite fluid, can be quite glue worky, can be quite a sort of holistic in the way that we work, and we can be go-to people who end up as scrum masters and other sorts of things as well. And I think that doesn't help us. It helps us and it doesn't help us, right? It gives us lots of that sort of flexibility and wonderfulness that comes with that. But when you're trying to sell a career and somebody says, "Where's this going to take me?" You'd be like, "Oh, I can take you wherever you like." And I don't know if you ever ask somebody for quite an explicit question, like, for example, "What's your favorite teddy bear?" And they just go, "I love all my teddy bears." It's You're like, "Ah, but I wanted just to get a little bit of an insight into that thing." And if I want to know the path I can take as a tester, really, it can be literally anything. And some people might get a bit annoyed if you just go, "It's all about the context."
So, Chris, what's your favourite child?
What's my favorite child? That
Who's your favourite
depends.
child?
It depends on the day and who's been the least annoying that day.
My point is that often, sometimes you can't make a choice, but I do get your point of frustration there.
It does lead into, like, how can we tell people that it's a career if we can't articulate where it's heading? Because we say the journey is more important than where we end up, and that we learn things and we get to grow, and we know that our industry is changing, but does it lead to anything? Because we need to get paid, we need to feel like we got value in what we're doing.
But sometimes the value is saying that actually it's one of those roles that opens up doors into various opportunities. That can be a strength in itself. It's not necessarily a weakness. It's all about framing, for want of a better word, that you can go into a BA, you can go into UX, you can go into development, you can become managing director of a company. It's about framing the skills that you learn and what you can do with them. It doesn't mean that it has to have a direct thing. I would argue a developer can do pretty much most of the things I just mentioned. It might more likely go into an architecture type role, but can do all the same sort of leadership type things. They might go into UX, user research. I've seen all these things happen. They might go into DevOps. The possibilities are endless. But yes, we do talk about hierarchical of your own family of career, but then there is the broader skill set. It's like scientists and things like that. Degrees, they open the door to a way of thinking, not to a set job sometimes.
Yeah, and I think that flexibility and ability to kind of move around through other tech jobs is really important to remember at the minute, because I think we're seeing in the like recruitment world that testing and QA specific jobs are few and far between nowadays, especially as you sort of get more senior and more experienced. There are a few roles with the word tester or quality engineer or quality specialist in them. And so testers are there like, well, how do I actually carry on in my career? I'm already a tester. I have a testing career, but how do I take that next step if I want to move up? And it can be a really confusing experience because if you don't want to move horizontally, if you want to stay doing sort of similar, more focused testing work, what can you look for? And I also think maybe companies don't understand what the role of a tester might be anymore, or what the benefit of having testers is anymore. So, you know, it can be a really interesting exercise about what do you put on your CV? Do you actually put that you're a tester, or do you put down the transferable skills and kind of try and broaden yourself out a bit to make you more attractive for certain jobs and not pigeonhole yourself? Or do you shout about being a tester and just hope that a relevant role comes out?
Yes, it depends on what you're putting your CV towards, I think, usually. And I know I said it depends. It
Well,
does.
it absolutely does. I mean, that's how I ended up in my role in DevOps. I made that shift back at the start of this year, and I wanted a role that still focused on quality and the people side and all the transferable skills that I know and love from my time as a sort of title-based tester. But the roles just weren't there. And so I had to think of, well, what other roles are coming up that share a similar skill set that I can apply to? And, you know, maybe shape that role a bit and bring in my love of quality into something else, because quality is inherently in the whole software development life cycle. It's not just in the testing phase. So ideally, I should be able to apply for any tech role and still bring that quality first mindset with me. And not everyone finds it that easy to just kind of take a dive and go for a completely different job title that they've never had before, because it can be quite a scary thing to do.
And it's a good point, though, because we can utilize the quality aspect of what we do to be a strong selling point for any particular role. You know, we are looking at things from a quality angle to try and improve quality. And the skills we use to analyze things are crucial in most roles. So they are definitely transferable. So,
It's interesting that for one of our projects, and it's an internal project, they haven't got a dedicated tester on it, but one of our testers is going in sort of more as a DevOps type person, but immediately he's put his quality hat on and gone, I think you need to improve that process, because actually you're not going to be able to test it. You're not going to be able to actually come out with an outcome if you don't do this. So even if you don't have in a project or whatever, the tester, the quality mindset of making sure that it's as best, as good as possible, as early as possible, is certainly something that testers, I think, do.
Yeah, perspective, yeah.
Talking about testers, not in test cases, David, what is this improving process malarkey you speak of?
Well, improving the process is basically, you know, you can have a voice. Basically, as testers, you can have a voice. As I said, you can share your information, and actually you can try and influence the way that things are done by the way that you speak. And again, it's going back to the way that we actually talk about it, is we need to talk about things in a positive way of improving things and moving things forward, rather than I'm here to make trouble or whatever. You know, think about the outcome, have an outcome sort of vision, and try and then change from the inside.
I think it's fair to say that we have already talked about how stuff from outside of your traditional software engineering path can directly influence the way that you approach people, software quality, process quality, interactions, communication, all of those things. We can abstract those things and actually apply experiences and lessons learned from different places, different spaces, different educational backgrounds and perspectives directly into a software quality career. And actually, I think one of the great advantages I touched on really at the beginning is that there is such a diversity of background and interest and representation within the software testing community that I think allows us to be better at representing our customers, advocating for them to be able to bring new things in than some other areas in tech, potentially. I mean, I am biased.
So is testing a worthwhile path then?
I guess it means what is worthwhile. Ultimately, to each person, it'll be a different answer of what do you actually want out of your career. So for some people, it's money. For some people, it's the people that you work with. For some, it's the challenge of what you do. And I think for me, on a personal note, what I value in my career is the challenge of getting to, like Russell said, to solve the puzzle of what's in front of me. That's very much how my brain works. I'm a bit of a systems thinker, and I like to sort of piece things apart, work out what the problem is, and then share that with other people. And as I touched on earlier, I really like the team side of being a tester, like getting up every day and getting to chat to my colleagues in meetings, have really interesting conversations. Even the days where you're frustrated, stuck looking at the same problem for hours on end, the feeling of satisfaction you get when you do eventually solve it and you can share that solution with somebody else is unmatched in anything that I've ever done. And that's what makes testing a worthwhile career for me, at least. But I'd be interested to know what you think makes your testing career worthwhile to you.
I would say for me that I don't regret being a tester. I've really enjoyed it. It might have even seeped a little bit into my own identity and friendship groups and things like that. But for the most part, I can the sort of the snapshot I have that talks to this is I remember being a job fair at Cambridge University and speaking to engineers or engineering students, I should say, and they would say, "This job here pays this much, and this job here pays that much. Why wouldn't you do that one?" And I say, "Do you know what? I like having a variety of different things. I like having problems I have to solve where I'm not tied to having to do one way of doing those things, to be allowed the freedom and creativity to do that. That speaks to how I want to problem solve. It speaks to keeping my brain stimulated and engaged, and I've loved so many of the people in the community as I've discovered them and gone through that I've really enjoyed it. And I know that anyone looking at doing careers going forward will never tread the same path as me. But I hope that testing in the future, whether you are or whether you're just executing testing, will always have a place and will always be important. And I think that's kind of cool.
Me, yes, absolutely. I feel that I like the challenge. I like the ability to think of interesting ways of actually doing it. I moved out of a job very quickly when all I was doing was doing regression testing and pressing a button and choosing which order to run the tests. And I ran away from that job. I felt stifled. I felt closed in. Just couldn't cope with it because I didn't have the freedom. But most of the other jobs that I've done as a tester have given me the freedom to think about things logically, to be able to share my vision and not catch people out, but actually make people think about different ways that their software might be used. And that's always really exciting, being able to make people think about the consequences of doing something odd or different with their software.
I can't really add much to what you've all said already. To me, it's ultimately it depends on the job. It depends. I've worked as a tester and hated it, and I've worked as a tester and loved it. So it depends on the team, the work, and other things. But the pure problem of testing, of working with a group of people to try and make sure something's as good as it can be within all the constraints that you have, the complexity of the problem, the technologies you've got to use, the time frames you've got, the access to the customer you need. That's a challenge, and it's a really good one because the ultimate goal is build something better. And I like that. I want to make something as good as I can do. I like to help. It's kind of my personality type. So it kind of really fits well with me. So I think testing roles where you get the opportunity to do that, incredibly worthwhile. I've worked for charities, governments. Knowing that you've done something that helps the vulnerable people is amazing, really empowering. Working for finance companies, knowing that your product's liked, it brings value, it makes someone's life easier, is valuable too. I definitely think, working for charities, it was slightly nicer, but ultimately, it's about what brings someone value and helping add to it. So I think it's very worthwhile because you can have, make such a difference to the experience of people. We use so much software. It can be so annoying when it doesn't work. We can help make that a better place. And I think that's a really good world to be in.
I think that's a perfect ending to a brilliant episode. So thank you very much to Chris, Beth, and Russell. Thanks also to our sponsors, Saffron QA. If you have any experience, well, if you would like to share your experience as a tester or like to get into testing, then please do keep in touch, get in touch with us. You can contact us on by email at contactus@testingpeers.com. You can get in touch through LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And we really do appreciate any feedback that we get from people. So thank you very much for listening, and we'll look forward to inviting you back next time.
For now, it's goodbye from the Testing Peers.
Goodbye. Goodbye.